Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 28th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast, the first one of the new year, so happy new year to everyone. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at The Calcio Corner. So we will start off this 28th episode of the podcast by talking about the recent action in Serie A. I'm breaking down the action from round 15. And as always, we will use the good, the bad, and the ugly to do so. So let's start with the good. We saw Milan, Inter, Roma, Napoli, and Juventus all win, so all the top teams winning in this round. Some wins were more impressive, certainly, than others, but regardless, 3 points are 3 points. Inter absolutely dominated Crotone, no surprise there, 6-2. Really just drummed in Crotone. Only negative in this game was that Lukaku had to leave in the second half, midway through the second half, I believe around the 75th minute, with an injury. The extent of that injury and how serious it is, it's not known currently at the time of me recording this podcast, so we will certainly have to stand by to see how serious it is. Hopefully for Inter's sake and Lukaku's sake, it's nothing too serious, but nice win for Inter to keep pace with Milan in the Scudetto race. Napoli, they also had a very impressive win, demolishing Cagliari 4-1. This one could have perhaps been a bit worse for Cagliari. Napoli had several chances to even increase the score from 4 goals that they already had. Lozano, he did score 1 goal in this game, but he had so many other chances to bury them. But he finally got his goal later in the second half. Zielinski, he scored a double for Napoli, each time giving his team the lead. 1-0 initially, then Cagliari tied the score 1-1 in the second half, and Zielinski immediately answered that Cagliari goal to give his team the lead 2-1, and Napoli never looked back from that moment on. Napoli were in total control of this game, a really impressive win for Napoli. You know, every so often they give you these just total dominant performances like this, and if you're a Napoli fan, it's frustrating because you see them play a game like this and play so dominant and so well, and then you see them struggle some games out there and just wonder, like, which Napoli is going to show up. But at least in this one, the very dominant Napoli showed up, and they played really well considering they were missing certain players in their offense, like Victor Osimhen and Dries Mertens. But, Lozano and Insigne played really well. Petagna did a pretty good job as well. They were without Koulibaly in this one as well. So nice job all around by Napoli, winning 4-1 against Cagliari. Some more good. How about Juventus? They start off the new year with a 4-1 win over Udinese. Shouldn't really be a surprise, but then again, as I was just talking about with, you know, Napoli, you're not 100% sure which Napoli side is going to show up. Same thing goes with Juve. They've been very up and down this season and not as dominant as they always have been. But someone who always has been very dominant is Cristiano Ronaldo. New year, same Ronaldo. He scores 2 goals for Juve. Really positive for Juve seeing Federico Chiesa get a goal. Paulo Dybala also scoring a goal. So each of them getting a goal in this one. Definitely a positive sign for Juve and their fans. If Juventus wants to get back into things and make a run at this Scudetto, they're certainly going to need Chiesa and Dybala to play well and start to wake up, because they've had a woeful season up to this point, and they're going to need them to play more consistently. So far, so good in 2021 for Chiesa and Dybala, so certainly a good there. We know Juventus, they're looking for another striker. They're looking for more offensive weapons, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. They're looking for those in the January transfer market, but they already have plenty of weapons offensively with Ronaldo, with Chiesa, with Dybala, Morata, Kulusevski. They have options already on their roster. They just need all these players to kind of play up to the level we know they're capable of. So far, it's really just been Ronaldo and Morata who have been doing that. Chiesa, Dybala, Kulusevski, those guys have to come in and you know, pull their weight. And again, so far, Chiesa, Dybala, first game of 2021, that's what they have done. So good win for Juve to start off the new year. Another good from round 15, how about Torino? They beat Parma 3-0. I've been very critical of this Torino side, and justifiably so, given how poor they have looked this season for the most part. I felt that Marco Giampaolo, I thought he was going to get fired way back in October and be the first coach to get fired, but the club has stuck with him. I give credit to them for doing so. Torino, they are unbeaten over the last three games, so perhaps they're starting to turn the corner and things are starting to click. One of those draws over these past three games, this unbeaten streak for them, was against Napoli right before the holiday break. So again, I got to give some credit to Torino. They earned the big win, 3-0 over Parma, so they land on my good side. Giampaolo perhaps starting to get his side to play his style of football that we know a Marco Giampaolo team could be a very effective team. We've seen it at Empoli a few years ago. We saw it at Sampdoria. Of course, he wasn't able to get the job done at Milan, and now he's trying to apply his trade at Torino, and it's taken some time, but perhaps we're starting to see his system come through with this Torino side. So good job by Torino to keep this little run they have going. And my final good from this weekend, I have to throw some credit towards and love towards Cesare Prandelli. Look, Fiorentina, they have consistently, you know, found themselves on the ugly section of this list of the good, the bad, and the ugly, consistently on that ugly side. So now they finally get themselves in the good. They drew 0-0 against Bologna, which, again, not certainly your ideal result. They still have some struggles with scoring goals as they go another goalless game. But the reason they land here is because they've now pushed their unbeaten streak to four games in Serie A. Let's not forget they had that big 3-0 win over Juve right before the holiday break. So even though we aren't seeing, you know, this great Fiorentina side, this really fluid team that, you know, that's scoring goals and whatnot, something that I kind of expected from them preseason, but Cesare Prandelli, he is steadying the ship a bit here in Florence. He's avoiding the possibility of this nightmare situation that they've been staring at, which is the possibility of relegation, which, again, they're not totally ruled out of relegation. Things could go sour for this club. Who knows? They could kind of revert back to that really poor side, but it seems that Cesare Prandelli has steadied the ship a bit. They are fighting to, you know, get out of this slow start that they've dug themselves into and avoid relegation, so got to give my credit to Cesare Prandelli. He is the final good from this past weekend. Moving on to the bad now. I'm going to say Benevento to lose in Milan is actually one of my bads from this weekend. I know that may seem a little crazy because entering this game, I don't think many people, including myself, expected Benevento to beat Milan. But, you know, I thought if they did play really well, this Benevento side, given how, you know, offensive-minded they are, how aggressive of a side they are. They're not scared to play against any club, no matter how big or small they are in Serie A. And this game was at home at Benevento. I felt that they had a shot to perhaps earn a draw against Milan. But then as I'm watching this game and I'm seeing it unfold, I felt that Benevento should certainly come away with at least 1 point, when if you were watching that game, you might have felt the same way, given how many chances they were creating. They were constantly threatening on Donnarumma. And then even as the game continued to progress, you're starting to maybe think that this Benevento side could steal all 3 points against Milan, hand them their first loss in Serie A. Obviously, that was not the case. Milan ended up winning 2-0. They took the early lead, but then it was Sandro Tonali around the 33rd minute or so. He ended up getting sent off with a straight red for a reckless challenge. So now Benevento, given how good they're playing, the chances they're creating, they have a one-man advantage. I'm certainly at this point thinking it's a guarantee that they're going to walk away with at least 1 point. They'll find that equalizing goal. Benevento did create so many chances. The only thing they didn't do was score that goal or two that they needed. So despite all this, Benevento, they land on my bad list. I think that they should have come away with at least 1 point at home against Milan, given the man advantage they had for the majority of this game, given how well they were playing, even in those opening 30 minutes or so before Tonali got sent off. I thought that they were really in this game. And then again, once he went off, I felt that they would equalize the score, but they end up letting Milan get that second goal in the second half. They had a penalty kick in the second half. Gianluca Caprari, who's been pretty good for Benevento this season, he totally whiffed on that one and pushed it wide left. And kind of from that point on, even though they didn't back down Benevento, they kind of felt like they were now facing a much more uphill battle than the one that they could have been faced with had Caprari been able to convert that. But let me give a little credit to Milan for showing some more resilience and toughness. Ultimate sign of a championship type team. And, you know, they want to win the Scudetto, and they really showed their resilience in this one, playing the vast majority of the game down a man, still able to keep a clean sheet against a threatening Benevento side. You know, the Milan legend and former Milan coach, Pippo Inzaghi, wanted to come away with some points in this one. That wasn't the case, but Benevento end up disappointing me a bit in this game. Another bad from this past weekend, Lazio, they drew 1-1 against Genoa. Really bad result for Lazio. Genoa more or less have been a punching bag this season for some of the top Serie A clubs. Lazio, this was a game they needed to get all 3 points. They only end up coming away with one. I know the game was away at Genoa, but still, it's a game that you got to take all 3 points from if you're Lazio. They now have fallen to ninth place in Serie A and certainly are complicating things if they hope to qualify for the Champions League, something they did this previous season. That's not looking likely, although there's enough season left for them to get back into this, but I'm just about ready to say perhaps that ship has sailed on their hopes of qualifying for the Champions League again. I think that they're kind of got an eye qualifying for the Europa League. Certainly, the extra 2 points they should have gotten had they beat Genoa would have helped them going a long way in staying in Champions League contention, but really poor result for Lazio, so they land on my bad list. Another bad, Sassuolo, they got drummed 5-1 by Atalanta. Atalanta deserve a lot of credit. They're doing this, obviously, without Papu Gomez. But I've been saying this about Sassuolo for a little bit of time now. They are a good side, but I do think they're a bit of an imposter side. They really, I don't think, are quite as good as everyone, or I shouldn't say everyone, I should say as some people think. They did beat Napoli earlier in the season, so they do have that impressive result. But honestly, that's really about the only impressive result they have this season. They've had some poor results. They drew against Fiorentina. They drew against Torino. They drew against Udinese. These are three of the, you know, the worser teams in Serie A. So those were bad draws. They, you know, got shut out by a good Inter side. But again, I'm not trying to kill Sassuolo. I just don't think they're as good as a team as some people believe. And they kind of were exposed in round 15 against Atalanta, losing 5-1. So they land on my bad for getting exposed like that. Moving on to the ugly from this past weekend. I talked a little bit about how Sandro Tonali got the red card. He ends up being my only ugly from this past round. He gets himself a chance to start, something he hasn't gotten super consistent opportunities, although he's had a few starts this season, but not perhaps as consistently as he would have liked. So he has a chance to prove to Stefano Pioli that he should be getting more starts for Milan. But what does Tonali do? He makes a reckless challenge, gets himself sent off in the first half. Now he kind of digs his club into a hole against Benevento with only one goal lead, and I already talked about how threatening Benevento were looking. Now he gets himself suspended. He's going to miss some games, further hurting his chances of, you know, earning a solid starting role, a consistent starting role on this Milan side. So bad job by Tonali. His time at Milan hasn't been the greatest, obviously. You know, when he signed, there was a lot of fanfare and excitement, and justifiably so. He's a really good young talent. I'm not labeling him a bust by any means, but, you know, it certainly has been a disappointing time that he's been with Milan, albeit a short stint so far. Obviously, long-term signing, they're hoping he could anchor their midfield for the next decade or so, so we can't think super narrow and short-term like we've seen so far, but it hasn't gone off to the rosy start that a lot of people would have liked at Milan. So again, Tonali had himself a chance here to prove to Pioli he should be getting more playing time, makes the reckless challenge and gets himself sent off. He'll miss a couple games, so because of that, Tonali lands on my ugly for this weekend. All right, now on to buy or sell it to cover some of the big storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and world of football. Let's get started with that. Number one, buy or sell it. Papu Gomez's best landing spot would be at Napoli. I'm going to sell this one. So we know Papu Gomez appears to be heading towards an exit from Atalanta. There's several top Italian clubs that are interested in the Argentine. That list includes Napoli, Inter, Milan, Roma. They've all been linked to Papu Gomez. Now, I do think Papu Gomez would be a good fit at Napoli. His mix of personality and professionalism would be a great fit with the characters like Dries Mertens and Lorenzo Insigne. I think he kind of would gel with those type of players. Again, with that combination of his personality and fun-going style and fun way that he likes to approach the game, yet he also has a certain level of professionalism in the way he carries himself and plays on the field. Napoli could use a little bit more offensive depth. We know Victor Osimhen just coming back from an injury, but testing positive for COVID-19, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Milik, he's not being utilized at all. They're trying to sell him in January. So Papu Gomez would be a nice addition from that standpoint. He would provide some more offensive depth. I think his personality, his character would gel well with this Napoli team. But I actually think the best landing spot for Papu Gomez would be at Inter. I think he would benefit from playing in Conte's 3-5-2 formation. I see him being an ideal player to play up front with Romelu Lukaku, kind of playing off of him a bit as that second striker. The system he comes from at Atalanta is much more similar to what Inter use and what Conte likes to deploy at Inter compared to what Gattuso's running over at Napoli. So systematically, he would be a better fit at Inter. We know Inter are actively pursuing players to try to bolster their attack. They're after some more offensive firepower in this January transfer market. And I talked a bit about that in length on the last episode of this podcast. So Papu Gomez would feel that need of providing that offensive playmaker, providing someone who could score goals, someone who could set Lukaku up systematically. Again, he would be a pretty good fit. I'm not ruling out Napoli as a team that, you know, has no shot at winning the Scudetto, but Inter are in a much better position to win it currently as things stand in Serie A, and that might appeal to Papu Gomez a bit. You know, he spent a lot of his career playing here in Italy. It's kind of become his home, and I'm sure he would love to win at least one Scudetto during his career. And as things stand, Inter offer him that better opportunity than Napoli do. I'll say this too. I do think Inter have fun. We see it in training. We see videos of them laughing and joking around in training. We see Antonio Conte during some training drills sliding in and making tackles on his players and them joking around. On the field, though, they do approach things with a more business-like mentality. And that definitely stems from Conte and what we see from him. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong or negative about having that business-like mentality. I approach a lot of things in my life with that same sort of mentality. But I do think adding a player like Papu Gomez with his personality could be a good thing for this group of players at Inter. I think he would help kind of loosen up things, liven up the atmosphere a bit. But again, as I mentioned, he has that playful character to him, but he also does carry a certain level of professionalism. So I think that would be a good type of personality to bring into that Inter locker room. So no, I don't think Napoli would be the best club for Papu Gomez to join in January, although I don't think it's a bad option for him to join Napoli. I do believe that Inter would be the best landing spot for the Argentine. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Gianluigi Donnarumma should not leave Milan. I got to buy this one, so no surprise that, you know, rumors are swirling about Donnarumma and his, you know, future and how he could potentially leave Milan. Again, no surprise when Mino Raiola is your agent. He's always kind of going to cause some headlines and stir the pot a little bit. Donnarumma, he continues to establish himself as one of the top goalies, not only in Serie A, but in the world. And yet he's only 21 years old, which is, you know, it's kind of scary to think about how young he still is, considering he feels like he's been around forever. But why would Donnarumma want to leave Milan now? You know, the club has finally turned the corner in a massive way. They're as competitive now as they've ever been since Donnarumma's been at the club. I fully believe he loves Milan. He wants to be here. I don't know what Mino Raiola is, you know, scheming up, his agent. Of course, he could just be trying to entertain these rumors and build them up a bit to get his client a pay raise from Milan. That's certainly a possibility. We know the club is trying to negotiate a contract with the goalie. Regardless, the way I always feel about these situations is that everyone needs to remember that the agent works for the player. It's not the other way around. The player does not work for the agent. The agent should be doing what the player wants them to do. If a player like Donnarumma, if he wants to stay at Milan, if that's his goal, if that's what he wants, that's what Mino Raiola should be focused on doing, making sure that the contract gets done with the Rossoneri, not necessarily entertaining these transfer rumors. Now, all indications are obviously that Milan want to keep him, as I said, so it's not just what the player wants. The player also has to have that match with the club, and it appears that, again, Milan want to keep Donnarumma. That's where he wants to be. So if you're his agent, Mino Raiola, that's what you have to get done. The clubs that are being, you know, rumored to have interest in Donnarumma, they include Chelsea and PSG, both big clubs, both with deep pockets that perhaps could offer him, you know, a higher salary than what Milan may offer. But we know a competitive Milan side, like the one that they have now kind of become, Milan are a bigger club than Chelsea at PSG when they're at their peak. I'm not knocking those clubs, but historically speaking, we all know Milan are a bigger club. And seem to be on the way to potentially a period of sustainable success given the young talent they have. Donnarumma is a significant reason why. He's one of those key pieces on this team. So no, I don't think Donnarumma should leave Milan. I feel he's at a great situation. He's at an ideal spot personally for his career at club level, also for his international career with Italy. This is where he should be. So no, I don't see Donnarumma leaving Milan, and I don't think he should even consider that. Number three, buy or sell it, Graziano Pelle to Juventus and Milik to Marseille. I'm going to buy both of these on both accounts. So I do think Graziano Pelle would be a a good fit for Juventus. I think Milik going to Marseille would be a good option as well. Let's start with Graziano Pelle. So he's free to sign with any club. As I mentioned on the last episode of the podcast, he's been linked to Inter. I talked about him being linked to that club on the last episode. Now there are reports that his services are being offered to Juventus. We know that Juve are looking for a striker. Pirlo came out and said after the game against Udinese that the club needs to bring in another striker. He does have a desire, he being Graziano Pelle, to return to playing in Italy. So there is interest on his part to return to Italy. So Juve could be a live option. Inter, as I mentioned on the last podcast, could be a live option. The Bianconeri could use another weapon in attack. They haven't gotten much from any of their other forwards other than Ronaldo and Morata, as I mentioned. Although Chiesa and Dybala each with a goal in the game against Udinese. So hopefully they're turning a corner for the sake of Juve. Now, we don't know at 35 years old what type of player, what type of threat Graziano Pelle could be in front of goal. Given he hasn't played in a league as competitive in Serie A in quite some time, that's another, reason to be a little hesitant perhaps. But given the financial hit, all clubs have taken during this pandemic, Pelle able to be signed on a free transfer perhaps isn't going to be demanding, obviously, some high salary. It isn't a bad gamble if you're Juve. He is a big, tall player, certainly could be a threat in front of goal. He could get some header goals on set pieces, crosses into the box. So I would have no problem with Juve signing Graziano Pelle. He's a low risk with, good potential upside type of signing, and low risk also in terms of the financial commitment you'd have to make. So yeah, I'm all in favor of that rumor of Graziano Pelle being linked to Juve. As for Milik to the Marseille rumors, I would buy this one as well. It remains to be seen if Milik would even want to make this move, if Marseille is a team that interests him, if going to France is a country and a league that interests him. He knows, we know he hopes of joining Juventus, but any of those hopes in January, they don't really exist. He would have to wait until the end of the season. There's no way Juve are going to pay Napoli what they want during this month to sell him. If Juve are still dead set on wanting Milik in the summer, then perhaps, Milik stalls this Marseille move. He tells the club he doesn't want to join them. But we don't know that Juve are even still going to have that strong interest to sign Milik over the summer. We've heard that Milik would welcome a move to Atletico Madrid, who recently cut ties with Diego Costa. But as of now, the La Liga side, they have not made any offers to Napoli. So perhaps he'll hold out to hope that Atletico Madrid make an offer this month. So, if Milik wants out of Napoli in January, he wants to play, perhaps to get himself into shape, get himself into form ahead of the Euros when he'll be playing with Poland. Marseille kind of are representing an opportunity if the rumors of their interest are true. So he does have a potential out if Marseille's interest is true. Problem is, according to the Italian media, Marseille's offer to Napoli was only for 10 million euro. De Laurentiis wants at least 15 million euro. So that could cause a hiccup. But as we know, in negotiations, clubs are not going to offer their top offer right off the bat. So Marseille starting at 10 million might not be a bad sign, actually. They could get close to that 15 million euro asking price that De Laurentiis wants. So again, Marseille does provide Milik with the potential way out of Napoli this month and to get himself back to playing. We'll have to see what happens. All right, final one, number four, buy or sell it. Napoli fans should not accept Victor Osimhen's apology. I'm going to sell this one. So for those who don't know, Victor Osimhen, he's been out injured, obviously, for Napoli. He recently returned to his home country of Nigeria. And there were some videos that surfaced of him at a party. I believe it was a surprise birthday party for him. It was recently his birthday towards the end of December. He wasn't wearing a mask. He wasn't, following any of the social distancing guidelines. And he ended up testing positive recently for COVID-19. So here he was just about ready to return from his injury and get back on the field for Napoli. And they could certainly use him. And he ends up testing positive for COVID-19 because of some reckless decisions he made. He took to Instagram to apologize to everyone for this poor decision. And I do think that Napoli fans should accept his apology. For those who don't know, I myself actually am a Napoli fan. I'm willing to accept this apology. He's a young kid still. Not saying that that's always a valid excuse, but you know, if he was making this decision as a 28, 29, 30-year-old person, I'd be far less inclined to accept his apology, but he is still a young kid. I think he's still, you know, kind of adjusting to life in Napoli in terms of the spotlight that's on him. He came over from Lille, and I'm not saying that that's a small club. They don't have pressure. They don't have spotlights on them, but Napoli certainly has a different spotlight on it, and there's certain pressure from playing at Napoli, and I think he's kind of learning this now, and he made this mistake, and hopefully he'll be able to learn from this. Napoli battling for a Scudetto, they need everyone to be fully on board and fully invested in this club and making the right decisions, especially with the pandemic going on. You can't have players, you know, making selfish decisions that could jeopardize their health and their ability to go on the field and help the team. So he certainly made a mistake. He admitted that. Gattuso even took some responsibility because he signed off on allowing Osimhen to return to Nigeria. So again, he young kid made a mistake, but for Napoli fans to just kill the kid, to ostracize him, to knock him, to want him gone, anything like that, I think is a little foolish. He's a very special talent. We've seen earlier in the season the glimpses of talent and how special of a guy he could be and a player he could be for this Napoli side. He certainly makes a difference when he's on the field. So we can't kill the guy. Got to get behind your player. He's only 21 years old, I believe. He's a young kid. He made a mistake. Let's give him an opportunity. If he keeps making these type of mistakes, then yes, certainly you could have your patience run thin with him. But at this point, only one mistake. Let's give him a break. He's a young kid, probably was excited to return home to his home country, see his family, see his friends. It was a surprise birthday party, according to all reports, so he didn't really know of it. That doesn't mean he couldn't have made better judgment, but as long as he learns from this mistake, I'm willing to accept his apology. So in terms of should Napoli fans not accept his apology, no, definitely give him a pass on this one and be willing to accept his apology. All right, so some news and notes to wrap up this podcast. Nicola Zaniolo, he deactivated his Instagram account, and that's a move that I definitely like on his end. He made a post using his mother's account saying, and I quote, "My life is on the pitch and not on social media. I've decided to quit this superficial world that does not belong to me. All this is affecting my tranquility, my recovery, and my passion." So here's, you know, a young kid, and I just talked about Victor Osimhen being a young guy making a mistake. So here's Nicola Zaniolo, young player himself. He has the world all in his hands, right? He has potential to be this really special player, this unbelievable talent for club and country, for Italy. There's been some drama recently in the Italian media with him and his girlfriends, and he recently broke up with his recent girlfriend who she's pregnant with his kid, and he's been linked to other women. I'm not going to get into all that drama, but you know, the social media world definitely could be a cesspool if you allow it to get to you in that certain way. And I just think for a kid like Zaniolo, he has the world in front of him. He has the world in his hands. He could be a really special player to make this decision. Whether this was a move that he made on his own or someone kind of advised him and got in his ear to do so, regardless, it shows certainly some maturity on his end. He needs to fully focus on recovering and getting back on the pitch, because that's kind of why he's famous, right? He's famous for being this really special, young, talented footballer, and no one's going to really care about him if that's not what he's able to do. Just, you know, you could use Mario Balotelli as an example. Young, talented player, a lot of hype around him. He was given a lot of chances as a young kid, kept making, you know, mistakes for whatever, you know, you believe some of the things, stories that were written about him or not. He made some mistakes, and, you know, he certainly derailed his career a bit. So let's, you know, give credit to Zaniolo. He's eyeing his comeback. He wants to be on that Italy Euro squad this summer. So good job by Zaniolo deactivating his Instagram account and fully committing himself to recovering and getting back on the field. So that will do it for the 28th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Stop.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, Passport, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 2026 Passport, or 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.